Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor Peter Burfein. The New Testament reading for today is from Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 20. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Now, this passage we just read is a wonderful comfort for those Christians who struggle with sin. Well, so as not to bury the lead, let's get right to the chase. All Christians struggle with sin. We struggle with sin for all sorts of reasons. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he gave his disciples one task, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. But what happened? His disciples fell asleep. So Jesus, you'll remember, said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yeah, the flesh indeed is weak. And when we hear God's holy and perfect will for our lives, as given in the law, we conclude as St. Paul did in our reading, the law is spiritual and good, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. That leads to struggle, the very struggle St. Paul bore witness to as he wrote, I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Notice also another reason St. Paul gives for our struggle with sin, ignorance. As he writes, I do not understand my own actions. That's St. Paul, one of the greatest saints ever. He didn't understand his own actions. We certainly would say amen to his words. Why do I get angry? Why do I beat myself up over and over again in self-destructive ways? Why do I lust for and desire things I shouldn't desire? Why do I get so envious? Why do I fall into those same personality ruts which get me in trouble? Why? Dearly beloved, Paul provides no answer to this. He simply says, I don't understand my own actions. He speaks in the same vein as the prophet Jeremiah speaks when he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So if you think just a little bit of figuring out your psychological motives, a little bit of deep therapy, a little bit of, I think I can, or a little bit of self-discipline will end your struggles with sin, you're just giving your heart more rope with which it will hang itself. More trickery, more deceit, more self-righteousness. Law answers to our struggles will always lead either to self-accusation or self-excuse making, meaning we'll either fall into the despair of self-accusation, never living up to the most basic of commandments, you shall not covet, or we'll excuse ourselves, lowering the standards of the law so we can present ourselves as righteous, or even setting up new standards, small little pieties we set up to justify ourselves, like the Pharisees saying, I fast twice a week, I give tithe of all that I possess. The Lord knows our hearts better than anyone. He created us. So he gave us the law to reveal our sin, to lead us to realize our need for a Savior. The law, as St. Paul shows in the early chapters of Romans, shuts our mouths. It puts us at the zero point. Like Peter trying to walk on water when Jesus invited him, he failed. All his earthly props failed him. And all he could do was cry out, Lord, save me. It's at that point we look only to Jesus for our salvation. This is exactly where Paul ends up just after our reading when he writes, Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In your struggles, dearly beloved, know that Jesus understands your weakness and your ignorance. He gave you a petition precisely to deal with this. Forgive us our trespasses, which is to say, we walk not by the law, by a pursuit of righteousness on our terms. We walk by the Holy Spirit, by faith, and by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness and our salvation. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and always ready to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour down on us the abundance of your mercy. Forgive us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and give us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except by the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.